Hi, I'm Maria Sistrom. I'm not a professional public speaker, nor am I a newscaster. I'm a public health nurse became interested in the concept of branding for public health as a marketing strategy through some conversations with our local public health folks in the Oregon Public Health Association who are excited about doing this. Before I tell you what we thought, let me thank my colleagues, Chris Palmetto, who's in the audience, who helped me slog through thousands and thousands of newspaper articles looking for this information, and Leona Winnett, who is not here, but served as my mentor and forced me to remove all of these snarky comments from this presentation. So it's not very funny anymore. This research was funded a little bit by a grant, the Public Health Systems Research Grant, through the University of Kentucky, and beginning with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And of course, I failed to pay attention to how I use the technology. Oh, I got it right. Okay, so this is the definition actually of branding: adding perceived value to an already known commodity, like Coke. It's the real thing. I guess this one has gone by the wayside, but we all know it, right? It's well branded. Pepsi, RC, and Big K are not the real thing. So commodity is key to branding, right? You're adding value to something that's already known. What is public health's commodity? I'm not certain of that, but what we did for this was population health, right? That's what our goal is, to improve the health of the population. So we took that as our commodity in what became a little bit of a thought experiment, because the outcome will be published in the Journal of Negative Results, if you know what I mean. So here's what we did. We compared counties by population health, which we defined for you, and I'll show you how we did that in a sec, to newspaper portrayal of public health. Do counties that have better population health see the public health in a more positive light? Do they get what the commodity is, and do they see it as the real thing? And more importantly, are there clues to better public health branding in the newspaper? How are we known already? Is it the way we want to be known? What can we do better? This is the relevance. Even though apparently nobody else does, policymakers still read the newspapers. And this was the impetus in the Oregon little lobbying effort in public health branding, specifically targeted to policymakers. So how do we measure population health? We took the Community Health Systems Indicators database and looked at counties over 1 million, plus Multnomah County, which is my hometown, and Chris's and Leanna's as well. The Oregon Public Health Association asked us to do our own county and paper, so they would have some local information. We picked Fulton County, Georgia, at the advice of somebody from CDC, thinking, well, kind of a control county in a way. If they don't know what public health is in Fulton County, then nobody does. And then we sorted by indicators, and we selected the top best and the bottom worst counties. These are the rankings that we chose, the elements that we chose: smoking, teen pregnancy, and flu vaccination over 65 as our measures of population health. Now, you may quibble, and so did my co-authors, about this selection to measure population health, but our rationale was it's quite narrow, and every county health department, every district health department, every state health department has a responsibility to address these things, okay? Other places have, not everybody does smoking prevention, not everybody does, I guess everybody does WIC, but that was not easy to measure and the like, and a number of the elements that we would use to measure population health are not in the CHSI, so we were somewhat limited by our data source as well. So we chose these three, and it was really fun to see how these counties fell out. When we changed the indicators, we got different counties. Smoking, you know, you just can't leave smoking out. It's the biggest killer in the universe. It's the worst problem we ever have, we still have. But when you sort by smoking, nothing else matters very much. So the layout of our counties, we got Southern California until we replaced sorted by smoking, it was replaced with San Bernardino. King County, which is Seattle, Washington, is always representative in top three. I mean, so you see the top three, Hennepin County, Minnesota, is Minneapolis, right? Places where people are pretty dang healthy, right, anyway, and maybe not due to their local public health efforts. There are a lot of things that go into population health, as you know. The bottom counties moved around a good deal. When they got sorted by smoking, they ended up in the Midwest for the most part. part. I don't know if Missouri considers itself the Midwest, but when we live in Oregon, we do, right? So here are the papers that we picked. Seattle Times, Star Tribune, Chicago Sun-Times, St. Louis Post-Despair, as it's known to us, the Oregonian, and the Atlanta Journal of Constipation. Sorry, I'm a public health nurse. And Leanna was not here to edit that one. This is how we did it. We did a LexisNexis search, which is a fabulous search tool. Thank you to Portland State University, where I was working on my PhD, for allowing me access to their fabulous tools. We looked at regional papers from 2004 to 2006, so that was 3 years worth of papers, sorted by the top and bottom indicators, and we selected very narrow terms. If you've seen content analyses of papers before, you've seen that they try to encompass an awful lot, like prevention measures. Well, you have to look at every traffic accident if you're doing prevention measures and things like that. So we took a very simplistic view of how public health is represented. We thought of it as represented to the layperson who has no interest in public health, who wouldn't know it from a hole in the ground, right? And so we only searched on just the most bald category having to do with public health. We did end up with a lot of other stuff because LexisNexis does this nice natural language search, so we ended up with articles from about WHO or CDC and the like, and we had to interpret whether those should go into our analysis or not, whether the standard 70 kilogram layperson male would recognize that as public health or not. So we did our coding in vivo, and this is not a methods section, so I'm not going to talk about our methods. We split positive and negative, and again, what the standard 70 kilogram man would see as a positive, as public health in a positive light or public health in a negative light. And the categories came up this way. Instructions was giving instructions to people, and if you want your H1N1 vaccine, you'll have to wait, and second, you can go to the county health department in Fulton County at this time, at this place, that type of thing. So things that told people to do stuff. Collaborations with other agencies and communities, emergency preparedness, not a surprise. Outreach in general, information was the big category. Information, not directive information, information that told people that swine flu is here in our county. Not swine flu is here, and these are the symptoms, and if you have them, you should go to their doctor. No direction, just the information. Lots of outbreaks, and pertussis has been found in Ashland, Oregon, again, because nobody actually vaccinates their children down there. That's not a direct quote. Information, I think we have the highest withholding rate in the country, but we're all hippies down there, and we don't believe in that kind of stuff. So legislation, regulation, not a surprise. Some stuff on schools of public health and their studies. Progress or improvement, right? The budget is getting better. We're building a new building. Even our health indicators may be getting better, fewer teen pregnancies, things like that. Politics and government as well. And then on the negative side, some of them were the same, right? Emergency preparedness viewed in a negative light. Legislation, regulation viewed in a negative light. The nanny, reference to the nanny state, things like that about public health. Snafus and incompetence. Oh, another vaccine shortage. Although we had a whole category on vaccines because for those 3 years, we had a shortage or a snafu every single year. So it had to come out as a separate category because we're way overrepresented in snafus and incompetence. Paternalism, the nanny state issue, some corruption, but not in the healthy counties. Vaccines, we really looked stupid for that three-year period, mostly over flu vaccine, not the expected vaccines cause autism or they're terrible for your health, that type of thing. And of course, politics and government was often portrayed in a negative light. This is the total data, and the reason I'm not giving it to you broken out is because there wasn't any difference between the counties, the newspapers, and the regions, okay? Remember the thought experiment? We didn't see it related to health. We didn't see the public health portrayed in a positive light related to the health of the area. So I took the top four negatives and the top three positives. Down here at the bottom, this is the number of articles from each paper. They were not the same, but 5,000 totals. It's just the number of mentions that came up in the different newspapers. There were a lot of missing and uncategorized articles down here because, remember, it brought up WHO and CDC. We included the CDC mentions because we felt like people knew, even Standard Mail knows that CDC is a public health organization, we hope. But we didn't include WHO because we didn't think that they would necessarily, and WHO isn't only a public health organization. So we left those references out. We also, the National Language Search came up with lots of weird articles that we didn't recognize as public health either, so probably prevention, preventive medicine, primary care, even that type of thing. So those all dropped out, so those were uncategorized. And the lack of categorization was different for the different types of newspapers. I don't really know what that means, but we probably could speculate on that. So as you see here in the positive categories, information, plain old information, telling you something is happening, not telling you what to do about it, not teaching you to wash your hands, not teaching you to get your breast exams, your whatever, your colorectal screening, etc. No directions at all, just information, and lots and lots and lots of it. In the negative categories, you can see down there, legislation, regulation, not a surprise, snafus and incompetence were fairly hefty. Vaccine, hefty as well, politics and government. But the top categories were interesting to us because these guys, instructions were usually preceded with the announcement about the information, right? And then they told you what to do. The biggest category was just the information. It also included, oddly enough, lots of obituaries on people who worked in public health, and they were these beautiful pieces about, you know, Edna May was a public health nurse for 150 years, and she took care of so many babies, and all, you know, all this kind of stuff. So we thought, you know, I don't know about you, but I always read the obituaries. It has to do, I think, with approaching 50. But I think people read those, and they were always just sweet. They were good PR pieces. In fact, we originally categorized that section as information and public relations. So there were more of those than you could imagine. In general, though, the take-home message here is it's about information, really. That's how we're known. So do healthier places represent public health more positively? Probably not. Maybe in Minnesota, but my colleague Chris is going to give a talk at some point to you guys about the character and culture of newspapers in different regions. I think it really had very little to do with our commodity. It might have something to do with our health as a population. Minnesotans, you know, they're healthy, they're nice, I don't know. The null hypothesis was supported. There were, however, lots of clues as to what a useful public health brand might be. Instructions, information, regulation, that's it. The first go-round, when we just did the first couple of papers, it was catchier. Information, vaccination, regulation. Those were the top positive categories at the first, so we could, you know, you could make your own jingle there if you wanted to. But this is how it fell out in the end. And I would argue that instructions and information are roughly the same thing. Regulation might be a different concept. So if our commodity is population health, and even if it's not, our brand may be information. This is how we are understood in the newspaper. Information as a brand is not a bad idea. This one came from one of the least healthy places, the Times Despair. Foundation of Public Health is sharing information, making it as widely available to individuals and local governments as possible. It's not very sexy, you know, it just isn't. We'd like to be known for our heroism, Edna May and those 150 babies she saw or whatever, but this is in fact how we are known. You can see yourself as a public health bureaucrat, maybe, if this is what you see, but I frankly see it as, a dispenser of public goods or a member of an organization that makes public goods available. Information, data are public goods. So you may or may not understand that I went into this with a fairly jaundiced view. I don't think that public health branding is necessarily the right approach for a public organization, a public institution, the Institution of Public Health. I will say that public health is known. You know, our Oregon lobbyists kept saying, nobody knows what public health is. Our problem is nobody understands what public health is, and if they did, they would support us all, right? I don't think that's the case. Anybody who glances through a newspaper has at least some kind of subliminal understanding of the information that comes from the public health department, right? They do. They're faced with it every time they open a newspaper. There were thousands of articles over that time period. This information, being known as an informant, a source of data, I'm not sure adds perceived value to an already known commodity. Our commodity isn't really known, right? The institution may be known. The stuff that we do, develop information, is known, I think, at least at some level. But the commodity of population health is not known. And in fact, I get a whole doctoral dissertation about is public health or population health known at all at the policy level. And I think the answer is pretty clearly no. So can we effectively brand public health either in terms of our commodity or can we brand it at all? I know the Department of Defense has done wonderful branding things, but I think they're, well, here's a snarky comment. I think they're evil and should not be allowed to persuade, you know, my 18-year-old boy to enlist. So I think it's the wrong approach. It's public health is a public good, right? This is the fruits of society, clean water, healthy babies, bicycle helmet campaigns, bicycle lanes, walking trails, right? I'm from Portland, so we do all that there. These are public goods. They are the fruits of society that public health manages, distributes, pays for, assures, right? And I think we might be barking up the wrong paradigm with our belief that we should market a commodity. Being a part of the market-based economy is, I think it's maybe anathema to public health, in my view. I know that is not a widely held view, although I went to the Socialist Caucus meetings like for the whole week this week. They're fabulous. I am not alone in my anti-marketing thing. So here are two, this is the final slide, here are two ways of understanding public health branding. The prevent, promote, protect thing. You know, this is not very far from, this is from NATO, right? Have you guys all seen this? Yeah, you know, they haven't done a very good job of branding if you haven't seen it. This is the, and they did a lot of research and developed this one. So their thing is public health, prevent, promote, protect. I don't think that that's very far off from information, regulation, vaccination, whatever. But it's people look at that and they kind of say, huh? I mean, I looked at it and said, huh? It looks like a forest ranger. So, I mean, you know, if you want to be smoking the bear, I guess that's okay. The This Is Public Health campaign, which is a funny way of branding public health with the, you know, it's a tautology. You're not supposed to define it in terms of itself, right? But this is about information. It's about infrastructure and information, I think. And I just love this picture with the label stuck on her, and she's looking at information, right? So that's all I have for you today. This is a very fun bit of research, and I thank University of Kentucky, Chris Palmetto, and Leanna Winnett for controlling me. Thank you.